glory to his name.
Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Thank you, Jesus.
Maybe be seated. This morning we're going to read Romans 10, 17 to 21. But before we do so, I just want to thank Malcolm and Owen and Lori for putting on such a good play. Maybe there'll be a second one, part two. Be a guest. Yeah, it'd be a really good guest. Let's go and open in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came to save the lost. And Lord, as we just pray that you would open up our heart, Lord, to see and to know your word, to apply your word to our lives. And we just thank you that you save us from utter hell, and that you give us a new life. Lord, that we don't have to live in shame or guilt any longer, that we get to have such freedom in you. Thank you, Lord, that you take our burdens, our weights off of our backpacks, off every heavy burden, Lord. These words says, come to me, and I will give you rest. And so, Lord, as we come to you today, I pray, the Lord, that you give us rest. And, Lord, that as your word speaks to us, Lord, I know your word transforms our hearts. And, Lord, that your word, but just open up eyes to the truth of the gospel. In Jesus' name. We're going to read in Romans 10, 17 to 21. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First, Moses says, I provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. It's a Gentile people. We're supposed to cause the Jewish people jealousy for our love for Christ. And I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. It's amazing how we're born sinners, and not one of us sought or seek the Lord. It's amazing how a holy, righteous God sought after us by his mercy and his grace. And I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. We never asked for the Lord. We were happy to be in our sin. We were happy to just go along our merry way of just living life however we wanted to. And it's just amazing how he sought us. But to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. He still reaches out to Israel so that he would come to know him, because the gospel is to the Jewish people first, then to Gentiles. And just even like the play, just how he saves us. He has an outstretched hand, right? He has his hand stretched out, and how do we respond? Are we willing to take hold of his hand? It's amazing the mercy of God. And just so, you know, just because as we've been going through the book of Romans for the last year and a half, or who's counting? But the Jewish people would never deny that salvation doesn't come from God. Right? They would never say that. But they would however, majority would deny the means of salvation comes through Yeshua, which is Jesus. And Yeshua means salvation. He brings salvation to those who would receive the free gift. So only a small minority have received Yeshua. And there's Messianic Jews, right? And so prior to salvation, we have different mindsets about salvation. How many of us actually thought about salvation while we're not knowing Christ? Did we even have that thought? I think when we were, before we became believers, I think that when I was in my sin, a sinner, all I thought of was my happiness. What I could do, what the world could provide, where I found my next excitement from, it was never in the Lord. I know in the back of our minds, before we come to know Christ, we have maybe a little thought about God. Only when I got into trouble, and only when things went awry, like if things went upside down, maybe I would cry out to God, right? But never really seeking him. He was always like the genie in the bottle that I would rub and say, you know what, Lord, I would change my life if only if you would save so-and-so. Like, I still remember this my day of my uncle, I don't know, I was probably 10, 9, and my uncle got burnt severely, and I even promised God I would serve him. Behold, many years later, right? We make promises, and God hears our hearts. You know, we think of that we're not so bad, right? We don't. We need a redeemer. Because we say, well, we're not so bad because we compare ourselves to somebody else. We compare ourselves to Hitler or somebody that has all these atrocities. We say, well, I'm not as bad as my neighbor who does all this. I'm better than them. So we have this scale that we think, well, my scale is really good because they don't measure up to my scale. So I must be a good person. I'm a good person because I do more good than wrongs. But how can you track how many goods you've been doing outweigh your wrongs? And so sometimes we think that we cooperate with God to bring about salvation, when God's always, he's the one who brings salvation, and we respond. So as we've been reading the Word of God, it's just even the gospel, it's about the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. Do we share the good news? Sometimes it's scary. We're going to read Luke 19, verse 10, so I don't know who has that. We're lost. If you're not a believer in Christ, you're still lost. Let's put it that way. Not because you come to church. I think about the the Jewish people, they, in Orthodox, an Orthodox Jew or ultra-Orthodox, or because you thought you were, because you're a Jew, you were saved because of the law. And sometimes we get religious as well. It's like, well, I go to church. I got water baptized as a baby. I'm doing this and this. So we become religious. But that does not save us. Going to church doesn't save you. Being baptized doesn't save you. Doing all these good works doesn't save you. The only thing that saves you is by repenting, confessing, and putting your faith and trust in Christ alone. That's the only thing that saves you. It's by the blood of Christ, that Jesus went to the cross to save you and I, to redeem us, to present us before the Father with great joy. And it's only because of his great love for us we repent. Sometimes we battle. We don't want to surrender to the Lord. So Romans 3:20. Who has that? Romans 3:20. What? Somebody has to have that one. Nobody has that one? All right. So therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. How about Romans 3:22, 24? So there's only one way to salvation. It's a very narrow road. Nobody else can save you. So Romans 10:4. So we believe in Christ. Romans 10:8 to 11. When we put our faith in him and when we meet a holy, righteous God, he causes us to repent. He really reveals our sin. When we put faith in him, he draws us to himself, and we confess and repent of our sins, all the things that we have done wrong. Right? To be right with him. To have a right relationship with him. When we, the faith is not like the word of faith, but the when he says the by faith, it's actually the truth of the gospel without compromise. When I put my hope and faith and trust in the word of God, it's the word of God that transforms my heart. We do Romans 10:17. I lost my track. No? Okay. Amen. Okay. So Acts 16:14-15. What? Come on, Bella. Oh, 15, 14 to 15. Thyatira. So she pursued us. So, you know, she was a Jew. She was a Jewish lady. And I think, and she was a worshiper of God. And I think of Paul before, like, Paul was a worshiper of God before, well, he was Saul beforehand. And when Jesus got a hold of him on the road to Damascus, and he was had a fire, and he loved the Lord, but he was walking in religion. And he thought he was doing all the right things. He was doing this, doing that. He's persecuting the Christians. He thought because they were not true followers of God. I think of Lydia. She was a worshiper of God. But when they went and shared the gospel to her, what happened? God opened her heart. So that she was able to what? To receive the word of God. Religion cuts you off. It closes the door. It's only God, through a relationship and a personal relationship with Christ, that he opens up that door. So you can actually truly understand and see the truth of the gospel. Religion God doesn't want. He's walking by faith and trusting in him. It's amazing how she and her whole, she got baptized. Her family got baptized. Her household got baptized. And what did she say at the end? She sought after and said, if I am in the right relationship with them, please stay at my house. She wanted to make sure she was a true follower of Christ. So you think about it. She made a decision. She repented. She received the free gift and receiving Christ as her Lord and Savior. It wasn't just a head knowledge, but it was a heart knowledge. That she was transformed. She responded to the gospel. When we don't water down the gospel, it transforms people's hearts. It breaks down barriers. It softens a person's heart to be able to receive the truth. It takes religion out of the way. Because religion kills. Religion says, I got to do this, I got to do that to be right with God. It's only by faith. I do it because I love him. I do it out of love. Not because I'm trying to earn salvation, because I love him. I want to do it. And he causes me to walk this way. She was baptized out of obedience to the word of God. Baptism symbols a believer's identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. To hate sin that we are in. God hates sin. He doesn't want us to live in sin. You know, as a believer, he gives us the Holy Spirit that lives within us. And what does the Holy Spirit do? What teaches us, leads us, guides us. He convicts us of our sin. And we have, as a believer, we have an opportunity to say, no, I'm not going to repent. And repent is actually not feeling remorseful. But it's actually a decision to turn away from that sin and hate that sin. Not to go back into that sin. But I hate that sin. I want to do a 180 from that sin. I want to run away from that sin. When we repent, we're saying, Lord, help me. I can't do this without you. I need you to change my heart. I need you to help me, to get me out of this sin. Just break off this bondage that is holding me into this sin. True repentance, there's an action. It's not just how I feel, but it's what the Word of God says. He doesn't like sin. He hates sin. And sometimes we give excuses why we're in sin. even though the Holy Spirit's convicting us of it. Well, that's how God made me. This is what I do. This is how it makes me feel good. We give numerous excuses when God says, turn away from that. Because that sin puts you in bondage. That sin takes you away from my presence. That sin hinders our relationship with the Father. And the Holy Spirit, as we continue, if we continue in that sin, our hearts become hard. And we become religious. And then we don't hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, who convicts us of sin. So sometimes we have to ask, Lord, I repent. I repent of hardening my heart towards you. I repent of not listening to your Holy Spirit. I repent of not trusting you. And I repent of being rebellious to you. Repentance brings us to the cross. Repentance changes our hearts, our actions, our desires. As we said too, do we struggle? Are we tempted? We are. We have an old nature that likes its own way. But through Christ, he gives us a new life. And he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us to overcome so that we become overcomers. To surrender and to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life. As a Christian, you're not perfect, but you're being perfected. The Holy Spirit is working in your life. How do I respond to him? As an unbeliever, he's drawing you to himself. He's opening up your eyes of your heart to see the truth, that you're not too far gone. Because you look at Paul, who was Saul, he did so much. He was a terrorist. Right? And God met him on the road to Damascus. He transformed his heart. He gave him a new plan, new purpose, new hope, everything. And what did Saul do? He says, Lord, he cried out. And look what happened. Nothing. Satan wants us to say, well, the sin I'm in, I'm too far gone. But you're not. Because all of us have sinned. We all have fallen short. And so by the grace and the mercy of Christ, that he redeems us, and when we confess our sins unto the Father, he says, I freely forgive you. And I choose not to remember those things any longer. So when we confess our sins, God says, I don't remember them any longer. So should we remember them any longer? It's easy to beat ourselves up. But am I going to take hold of what the Word of God says? And also, I don't want to take God's grace in vain either. So Lord, help me today. Save me from my sin. Save me from my disobedience. Change my heart. If you had never accepted, if you have never acknowledged your sinfulness and cried out in faith, faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ at Calvary and his resurrection from the grave, don't put it off another day. Not even for another moment. Because we don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes or the next 10 minutes. We don't know what's going to happen in the today. Respond to God's loving invitation. You know, he's been seeking after us. Even though when we were, because we're sinners beforehand, and we become a child of God, you're no longer a sinner, but you're a child of God now. You've been adopted. And it's just like, how do I see myself? Am I a believer in Christ? Do I see myself as a child of God? Do I see myself as a new creation in Christ? How do I see myself? Do I believe the lies of the past? Hopefully not. I think John 3:3 says we have to be born again. To be born again is to surrender our lives to Christ. Nothing in this world could actually transform our hearts except for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, even New Age, all the New Age, like they're not New Age, but it's been from the beginning. They don't have a savior. They said, look at yourself. Do and earn your salvation. They don't give you hope. Only the message of the cross gives you hope. Only the message of the cross that brings you to a Redeemer and a Savior. When we think about the first time we bend our knee to the Lord, how He speaks to you. I know the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us, or else you wouldn't be here. We all have tried to run away from the Lord. It's amazing how we try to run away from the Lord. There's not one place that we can run that He will not be. You could go to the farthest end of the world and He will be there. He's seeking after you. He has a plan and a purpose. He came to the world to save the lost. But yet He's coming back to judge the world. You know, the message of the cross saves sinners and brings them safely into the presence of God. The gospel of Christ, it alone is the power of God until salvation. The gospel is the power of God to convert. Not me, but it's the Holy Spirit that converts and opens up people's eyes. It's the Word of God. The reason I think it is true the gospel converts people, it brings them to a faith and repentance. It's because Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. In 1 Peter 1:23-25 says, you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but an imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. And this word is the good news that is preached to you, so that it is true that we are born of God and converted by the means of hearing the powerful Word of God, the gospel, the good news. How can you not want to share the good news? If you're a believer in Christ this morning and you have been saved, the book of Romans is a great book to read. You know, it's true that conversion is called salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's by the grace of God. It's by through faith in God, in Christ. And it's not of your own doing. So we realize it's not my own doing to be saved. I just receive. I think that's hard for us. Especially from the backgrounds, right? From a Catholic background, you learn that you have to do things when you just have to receive it. I think of that. I think of a lot of my family's Catholics. And it's just how when I first got saved, they made fun of me. And it's like, well, you want to jump up and down in the pews? And I'm like, no. But we will be ridiculed. People will make fun of us. But don't be ashamed of the gospel. Share it. Because it renews you, it redeems you, and it saves you from utter hell. And you get to be in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Romans should be precious beyond our words to you. Because no other book in the Bible, it unfolds your calling, your justification, your sanctification, and the obedience of faith. These are all parts of salvation that is already true through faith. It reveals so much, and it helps us to understand the truth of the gospel. It actually helps us to learn more of who Christ is. Therefore, the gospel is the power that gives us victory over temptation to despair and to pride and to greed and to lust. The gospel alone can triumph over every obstacle to bring us to eternal joy. Think about how many people are seeking joy. You have the answer. It's in the truth of the gospel. Whatever it costs, stand on it. Stand in it too. Stand in the Word of God. Believe on it. Feed on it. Savor it. I think about savoring. It's like in the Old Testament. It's like one time I had honey to put on your lips. The Word of God should be like honey to your lips. It should be sweet. It should be like, that's what I want. It's such sweetness. Such great flavor. It satisfies us. Saving faith is this, confirming conviction and trust in a person of in the work of Jesus Christ. Saving grace is through a personal relationship, utter its dependence on Christ. Saving faith is accepting, receiving, and resting upon Jesus alone for justification, sanctification, and eternal life. Saving faith is submitting to and relying on Jesus as a resurrected ruler of heaven and the Lord of your life. I'll finish with Jude 24. It says this: Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. I always love this one. And to present you faultless. You know, right now, even though we have maybe sinned prior to coming to church, and if we have confessed our sins, maybe we have it. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are actually praying to God on your behalf right now. That's a loving God. So Jesus keeps you from stumbling. And Jesus presents you faultless. That's what he does. Because God the Father sees you through Christ. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. He loves you. And this morning, as we are going to be reminded of communion, I'll say this. It's never too late to come to know the Lord. It's never too late to say, Lord, even as a believer, Lord, I have fallen short. Lord, I have not trusted you in areas of my life. I have been rebellious. Even as believers, we need to repent. And Lord, you transform my heart. Make it soft again. Make your word alive in my heart. That I would learn to trust you and depend on you like I did when I was first saved. Sometimes we get our hearts to be calloused. None of our hearts being calloused, right? Sometimes our hearts get calloused because of things that we have seen or heard in this world. And we have taken our eyes off Christ. That's why Jesus says, be like a child. A child has a nice soft heart. And is willing to trust the Lord. So as we take up do communion, if you're not a believer, not a follower of Christ, if you have never received Christ, John, can you guys, John and John and Kurt, Nathaniel, yeah, can you guys pick up the... So, you guys just want to time them out. So if you're not born again, if you never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do not take the communion cup. The communion, the bread and wine, does not save you. The bread and wine are for those who are followers and believers in Christ alone. It's a reminder that we are His bride. So it's a reminder to us all that He has accomplished and that He's still doing in our lives. Right? So as we... Because when we take communion, we're saying that we have received Christ. We have said that we follow Christ, that He's my husband, because the body of Christ is His bride. And we're taking communion because we're waiting for His return. Even after the service, too, if you want to know more about the Lord, you want to receive Him, you come up and give prayer. To know Him. So as we usually have matzah for the bread, and matzah has no yeast in it, and Jesus had no sin in Him. Jesus never sinned at all, never did, and never will, because He's a holy, righteous God. And so matzah, it had stripes on it, holes in it. You put it up, you can see the piercing. What Jesus went through for each one of us. Even before we came to Christ, Jesus went to the cross willingly for all those yet to be born. Just think of that. He knew you before you even were formed, or even before your parents even got together. He knew you. He knew the time, place where you're going to meet Him and receive Him. I remember that day. I remember that hour. And am I ever grateful for that? As we take the bread, Jesus says, eat of this bread, and it's my body. And Lord, we thank You for Your body that satisfies. Thank You, Lord, that You satisfy all those who are hungry. Lord, thank You that You make us hungry for You, and only You satisfy us. Nothing else satisfies us. And Lord, as we take this bread, we're going to remember all the things You have done and still are doing in our lives. Thank you. during the Seder feast, Jesus took the third cup, which we take, which is our communion cup. And the third cup in the Seder is the cup of redemption. This is the third cup that of the Seder. That each time we take this, we remind ourselves we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. Because of Christ, that we've been redeemed. And we have put our faith and our trust and hope in Him alone, who purifies us from all sin and cleanses us from all sin and guilt and shame. So Lord, we thank You for Your precious blood that cleanses us. And it's even the new covenant that we have because of You, Lord Jesus. Thank You for Your blood. Lord, we thank You for who You are in our lives. We thank You, Lord, that You're here, ever present. I thank You, Lord, for the work You're doing in our lives right now.
Amen. We're just going to end service with just this happy song that we sang earlier. Can you grab the lights? We got saved. We are saved. This is just amazing and good news. And let's just celebrate that before we enter into fellowship and dinner time. Amen. Amen.
A river of gladness that pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and God saved.
Amen.
Oh, since then I walk in forgiveness, through all of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past, broken at last, I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He's got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Let's start again. There's a river.
There is a river of gladness,
praise Jesus,
pours from Emmanuel's veins. The sinner was plunged beneath the flood and God saved.
Amen, Jesus, thank You.
Since then I walk in forgiveness. Oh, all of my guilt was erased. The chains of the past are broken at last. I got saved. Oh, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. Yes, I am. I'm restored and made right. He's got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? Oh, I've received nothing but goodness.
Amen, Jesus.
I've tested and tasted Your grace. And I was so lost till I fell at the cross and got saved. Yes, I got saved. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He's got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
The love of God.
The love of God calls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why I got saved. The love of God gave me His pardon. The love of God won't let me stay the same. The love of God calls me up higher. His will is stronger. That's why. I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus. I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. He's got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? I'm restored and made right. He's got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more?
Lord, may you just bless the rest of our time together. Father, may you bless the food to our bodies' use.